Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh-Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Okay, I am going to read the next piece. I apologize in advance. I'm reading for Ndaba Sibanda, an excerpt from a fascinating piece that he sent us called The Inferno of Madness Sci-Fi 2. And Ndaba emailed and told us that he was so sorry he couldn't be with us to present this because it's 3 o'clock in the morning in Ethiopia and he gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to work. So he didn't want to lose 2 hours of sleep, and I can't blame him for that. So I'm going to do the best I can with this. So just bear with me while I read an excerpt. And again, this is an excerpt. If you want the full thing, you got to read it in the book. From The Inferno of Madness, Sci-Fi 2. A flying visit to the villages makes one sick, cringe, reprove, and realize the ugly scars of deforestation. Insensitive cutting and burning of trees is rampant. Who doesn't know that living trees absorb and store carbon dioxide? It looks like some mean people have resolved at all cost to take us back to the Dark Ages. When I visit urban centers, I am greeted by fumes from cars. Fumes, furious fumes. I sometimes fume too, choking and shocking. Transportation and deforestation are accomplices behind the climate change crisis, I squeal. When I tell people to wake up and arrest the effects of climate change, they say, "How dare you? How can you say they should not use planes? Their countless and beautiful cars, and reduce livestock farming and coal. Are you mad?" they scream in wonder. What kind of a normal farmer would say, "Let us reduce the use of fertilizers in livestock farming"? That's utter insanity, they say. Do people not see the damage that looks us in the face? Floods which sweep away people, buildings, and trees. Extreme heat. Oh, sometimes it's hellish. Beasts are dying. Wildfires are causing mayhem and destruction. The weather patterns are being disobeyed and disturbed. The planet is not happy. It needs peace and protection. Then there is the political foolery in the country. Maybe aliens are laughing at us. My country is in a mess. Rights are a rare commodity. Some say rights are the thighs of a tortoise. Courts, captured, unseen. Master corruption rules and ruins. I am sick to the bone about it all. The moment I meet other nationalities and we chit-chat about it, I feel lost, let down, and naked. It weighs on my pride, personality, and achievements. To be frank, this curse haunts me like a hound. Excruciating bruises are written all over me, all over my place and conscience. It is a shattered dream that haunts me day in and day out. It's so mind-boggling that it clouds the horizons of my imagination and determination. The elders have a saying, "The one," meaning the eagle, "that soars about has a chance of catching, probably a chick." And so, like a roving eagle, I bumped into my former neighbor, who is affectionately, if not notoriously, referred to as Mr. Patriot Anarchy. He is now a salad, or one of those who live in the low-density suburbs. I'm still a sichwaleya, thick maize porridge eater living in a township. Though there is absolutely no mealy meal to cook, I sichwalala, pop maize meal with. For the majority of the low-density suburbanites who have no constant supply of groceries from those in the diaspora, even to talk of eating salads would be tantamount to lying through the teeth. Hunger rules supreme, whether one is a rustic dweller or a town fellow. The farmers they chased away from the land are in neighboring countries and overseas. Does it make sense to kick out productive farmers? And the next thing that happens is you are seen in those unwanted countries where these unwanted people are. What are you doing there? It turns out you are actually begging for money and mercy, of course. You chased away the farmers, and then you import food produced by them from the very countries to which they fled. Who is delusional and demented here? Who has the last laugh? Please, come on, get real. These are precious people's lives and destinies we are discussing here. Bread and butter issues. Get a life or get a boot. So that was an excerpt from a very interesting piece that just goes all over the place. Well, it's kind of a challenge to read. Okay. Next up, we have, I think, one of the only collaborative submissions we got. JAC, B. Monet, and Z. Rose sent in this poem. It's called Untitled. I can't see if any of those three are here to present. B. Monet, Z. Rose, JAC. Sarah E., do you see any of them in the list?
I do not.
Okay. I guess I will read this one then, since I have it in front of me. Or do you have it in front of you? Do you want to read it?
You can go right ahead, because I think you have it pulled up.
I do. I have a large print printout. I print in like 24-point type so I can see it. So I'll just read for them. It's a collaborative poem, and I honestly have no idea which of the three poets wrote which stanzas or sections. So hopefully I will do it justice. Take time for thyself. I command you to stop. Wish upon a star for old time's sake. Remember a time we went by the lake. You would tell me stories. The weight of your voice carries for hours. Didn't you know you live in the pit of my mind? The silence at night I welcome as comfort, but come morning and the soles of my feet stand to fight, walking around aimlessly. I listen to your voice, dreaming of a fantasy, wishing upon a reality where a gift of an hour can ease the anxiety shriveling inside of me. Silent at times, but today pressing my temples, I live for the feeling of love. But I'm floating, no other way of life. But others live through fighting freedom. Frequent flyers fire fools, wanting more, but unable to reach my temple. Happiness turned upside down, wanting a parallel universe to become home. The world spun once from your tremendous gravity, toiling away to just keep you amused and burning bright, all due to an explosion long ago. Brilliant beyond all velocity, becoming desolate and polluted with each revolution around, bathed in the shine of another sun's embrace, long gone, yet still reaching, searing the empty abyss, pulls apart what once came together in a golden hour. Nice, if I do say so myself, having presented it. Good job to our trio of poets, JAC, B. Monet, and Z. Rose. Okay, all right. Next up, we have the poem Spent by Dr. Paul Spike Wilson. I know you're here, Spike, so I'm handing over the mic to you.
No, you can just read from where you are.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm here. We're just... sharing one computer right now. Okay. So this is called Spent. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes. Oh.
If time is money time? No, so many immeasurable things. Another hour with my father, the first moments looking in my new bride's eyes, a day spent young with noiseless promise. But the truth undercuts this fantasy. I am not so much afraid of death as time.
Sorry, it took me a second to unmute. I love that. Thank you. That's just wonderful. And Spike, can I ask you to do us a huge favor and read our next presentation? It's Deborah Peterson's poem, This Hour. And like I said, she's busy with the wedding of her daughter, which we all understand. Congratulations to all. But would you be willing to read that since you're already on a hot mic?
Sure.
Great.
Okay, so this is This Hour, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let me take this hour to bake you a cake, chocolatey, light, sweet. Let me bake you a cake because I love you, because it makes you happy, because it is my small way to thank you, to grow with you, to leave the shadow and scent of a memory filled with fondness, to strengthen our bonds as we weave together our lives, our forever time. Let me take this hour off the rocker, nuts, talking the ticks of the clock, time slipping and lost.
Perfect. Thank you so much. That was wonderful. Okay. Last up, George W. Wolfe, are you here? Is George here?
Yes, I'm here.
Yay! I'm here. Yay! There's George. Okay. Are you ready to read your poem, Reversus number 13?
Yeah. So this poem was, I got inspired to write it after hiking in Rocky Mountain National Park. That's why the reference to the elk. and it also has an environmentalist tone to it because I was also inspired by what's called the Gaia hypothesis, which is a scientific theory that I can answer your questions about afterwards if you're interested. That's how it looks at the Earth as a spirit. So I'll read the first stanza, and then I'll tell you when I read the second one, because the second one is the first stanza with the words being read in reverse order. Spirit, ailing, an echo within and away, slipping time through twisted seasons, endlessly calls us beneath cracked and choking earth. Our eyes, roving with quietly placed steps, watch clouds passing amidst grazing elk. So this now is the second stanza. Elk, grazing amidst passing clouds, watch steps placed quietly with roving eyes. Our earth, choking and cracked beneath us, calls endlessly. Seasons twisted through time, slipping away and within, echo an ailing spirit.
That's just so great, George. And like Sarah E said when we announced the awards, you know, a palindrome is not an easy form to do. And this was just so beautifully done. You know, I feel like a lot of submissions this year, you know, kind of had elements of earth and you know, climate and different things. It's like all of us have been thinking about, you know, the global our global world in different ways in the past couple of years. And this poem just really seemed to kind of bring that all together. And I just loved it so much. So thank you so much for presenting it tonight. And congratulations on being our Award of Merit winner, I believe for the second year in a row, by the way.
I'm deeply humbled.
We're deeply thrilled.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.